Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become adulterous. Anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now, what does Jesus mean here by the phrase, except for marital unfaithfulness? That's the exception clause. And it only appears in Matthew. It's twice in Matthew, but nowhere else. The other Gospels, they give the same account. Jesus just says, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. Just no exception. Why is the exception clause not mentioned? Well, remember last week we found that there are numerous examples of one gospel being more brief than another gospel, and one gospel stating something in a seemingly absolute way, and then another gospel saying, no, there's an exception. One gospel said they brought no bread. The other gospel said they brought no bread except for one loaf. And that kind of thing happens. So whenever that happens, when one gospel gives more detail than another gospel, you don't explain away the more detailed one to try and make it match the shorter one. You do it the other way. You take the shorter one as the basic principle and the more detailed one as giving some additional understanding. And given the Old Testament context and the legal situation of the day and the fact that all sides of the debate agreed that divorce was mandatory in the case of adultery, it's no surprise that some of the gospel writers would just leave out that exception, except for adultery, because everybody would take that for granted. There's no reason to mention it. Except in Matthew, there's a reason, because he had just told the story about Joseph and Mary and that he was righteous while planning his divorce. He doesn't want anyone to think that Jesus is condemning Joseph here, and so he mentions the exception for adultery. Makes sense. Now, some people have wondered, where does forgiveness fit into this? Why doesn't God just tell the innocent spouse, look, just live with it, just forgive. Just forgive. I mean, we have to do that with every other sin in marriage, right? Every sin in marriage, you're called to just forgive, forgive, forgive. Don't divorce. You just live with it. And then, except for this one thing, we divorce? Why? I think part of the answer is sexual sin is a unique kind of evil in marriage, because remember, marital love is exclusive love. It has to be exclusive. The church, it has to be exclusive to illustrate the relationship between Christ and the church. The church does not have two gods. It can never worship two gods. If someone insists on giving himself to some other god, the Lord Jesus Christ will not accept that person. God has never been willing to share his people with another god. And so involving a third party in the marriage bed is especially detestable to God. If your spouse is going to continually drag some third party into your marriage physically, it is detestable to God for you to continue to be involved in that. He does not want you to continue to participate with that. To be involved in a three-way situation like that perverts the picture of Christ and the church. This is another reason why divorce became necessary when man became so hard-hearted against God. Man became so sinful that human beings actually created marital situations that were worse than divorce. God hates divorce. But there are some marriages that are so sexually perverted that God hates those marriages even more than he hates divorce. And so where there's ongoing, unrepentant, hard-hearted adultery in a marriage, then getting divorced can actually be better than staying married in God's sight.
Now, I realize we may have set a new world record on the shortest Food for Your Soul podcast ever today, but I thought this point was worth leaving in its own context so that it's not lost in the weeds of any other points. Consider how seriously God takes the model of marriage to illustrate Christ in the church. It's not just an analogy. It's a model God takes so seriously that he'll even allow something as horrible as divorce in order to keep that model intact. What are some implications for your marriage and your personal role in the Christ and the church model? And I realize some of you who are divorced may feel kind of condemned by this passage, or just wonder if you've ruined your life or if there's any restoration for you. I hope you can tune in tomorrow. In fact, I hope everyone can tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow's podcast is about God's restoration, and I think you'll find it a great encouragement.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.